been defined as a pedagogic lecture, meaning that Bologna gets 90 minutes instead of 60, but that also means that we didn't ask him lots of questions. So he gets basically 60 and we get 30. So.
Okay, we'll try. Of course, in this science, many questions are difficult to answer because it consists from mostly from conjectures, which sometimes work. So I wanted to propose our conjecture today, which is the integrability scheme for the full spectrum of planar ADS-CFT. So we pretend that we can calculate even finite length operators such as trace F mu square or Konishi, although it's a conjecture, as I say. And I will be based on essentially on two works written in collaboration with Pedro Vieira, who is present here, and Nikolai Gromov, who unfortunately didn't make it here. Only a few months they were my students, and now they're my very valuable collaborators and colleagues. So some points which I will not be able to elucidate today, Pedro may do it during his talk. Okay, so now following the fashion line proposed by Joe, we propose our design of the t-shirt. So this will be essentially the main equation. Of course, this equation is very well known. We are not the authors of this equation. It's the so-called Y system. It's equivalent to a very famous in integrability, in classical as well as quantum integrability, Hirota equation. Just it's rewriting, invariant rewriting. But of course, it has many, many solutions. The whole integrable science essentially can be fit into this line. That's for sure. Classical hierarchies of integrable equations, differential equations, beta ansatz of all kinds, everything. And of course, it had to be specified by the boundary conditions. That's what makes it already specific to a particular model. Of course,
if one moves around and somehow define quantum integrability.
Yes, that's my point. That quantum integrability, first of all, quantum integrability is just a particular case of classical integrability. So that's if I was on the edge of bad taste, I would say that the dream of Einstein comes true in this ideal world of integrability. You have this equation, which is a discrete classical dynamics.
I know a long list of people who would violently.
Of course. That's interesting to provoke these people. But those are hidden variables behind quantum integrability, classical variables. Discrete, though. Discreteness is very important, of course, in this quantum business. Okay, then here is the nice picture. That's already our design with nice black buttons in the middle. This is a AS plane for these AS indices, where actually the whole drama takes place. And everywhere else, Ys are zero. And of course, there is also a spectral parameter, which appears in this plus minus some shifts in the spectral parameter, which I will explain. So these three variables Ys depend on these three variables, two discrete, one in principle continuous, and this is AS plane where all these Ys are non-zero. Actually, only on these boundaries, here they are zero, here they are infinity, here they are infinity, on horizontal bound is infinity, but it doesn't matter. This way you define it completely.
A positive integers and S are arbitrary integers?
Sorry?
A are positive integers and S are arbitrary integers.
S are arbitrary. That's the whole point. S are arbitrary and A are only positive. Here, it will be zero everywhere where it's empty place. In Hirota always should act on the whole plane. That's the point. And for all values of spectral parameter also. But everywhere else, it should be self-consistently zero, because Hirota really acts everywhere and Y system. That's also the almost the definition of integrability. It should be described by Hirota, but Hirota should be true not in pieces, but everywhere. Okay. Now we want to know the anomalous dimensions of short operators in n equals 4 super young wheels, such as Fonishi, trace F squared, etc., at any coupling, of course. And of course, super young wheels is difficult to analyze, as we know, and we switch to ADS dual, the superstring sigma model, of which a lot was said already during these days, so I will not even show you the action of it, the Matsyev-Zeitlin action. I don't need it. So our inspiration for this proposal is the thermodynamical beta ansatz in relativistic massive integrable sigma models at finite size, namely defined, the Hamiltonian is defined on the periodic circle. And as the Euclidean theory, it lives on a cylinder.
Trace F squared is simple, the anomalous dimension is zero.
Huh?
Trace F squared is simple, the anomalous dimension is zero.
Oh, yes, probably I should trace. Four. That's true.
A combination of trace F squared and
depending on is either Konishi or one.
Yes, but I think it's not
depending on
the, yes. If you take the chiral, the chiral square, the square of chiral part, it will be not zero, of course, right. Not F menu.
Then it's Konishi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can. Probably I could have given a bigger list of interesting operators, okay. So our inspiration is taken from relativistic sigma models, where a lot of work has been done, not very much explored, I would say. As a result, people really extracted finite size spectrum for massive sigma models. And an important example for us, where we always take our inspiration, is SU2 principal chiral field with this symmetry, SU2 left times SU2 right, which is equivalent to O4 sigma model, the unit vector on the S3 sphere, etc. Then the point is that in the Lightcoin gauge, the superstring, the Matsyev-Zeitlin superstring, looks very much like SU2/2 times SU2/2 principal chiral field. So here is the similarity.
Huh? You say looks like, what do you mean looks like?
I will precise it. On the level of S matrix, for example.
But not on the level of sigma model.
Not on the level of sigma model, no, probably not. On the level of scattering theory, I would say. I wouldn't go further, at least. I don't know how to. That analogy we will explore. First explain carefully TBA for principal chiral field and its excited states. Then we go over to the string, superstring. And then we'll try to use these symmetry arguments and some experience from TBA for relativistic models and define this TBA, which will be governed by Hirota dynamics or Y system. Notice this analogy between TBA and Hirota dynamics was noticed long ago by Alyosha Zamolodchikov. And for the supergroups, the representation theory will be important for us. It's a particular boundary conditions which we'll use. And then we will conjecture the Y system describing the planar ADS CFT at any coupling. And for the moment, it has passed all known tests, everything which was known from the analysis of asymptotic beta equations of Beiser, Tedenstow, Dacher, and many subsequent papers. Okay, this is outline. Now, the main idea of TBA is very simple. Consider the theory, the Euclidean theory on the torus. If you calculate the partition function, you can expand. You can expand it into the states in two different channels. Yes, you can imagine your theory sitting here on this circle, the Hamiltonian of the theory, on a periodic space of the length L, and this will be the theory of our interest, for example. But you also can re-expand it in another channel. So here L plays the role of the inverse temperature, for example, in the TBA setting. But we also can imagine the same theory, sort of the mirror theory, sitting on this circle and then propagating along the imaginary time in the direction of sigma. So this is the original theory. This is what we'll call mirror theory, according to.
But you're proposing this picture after gauge fixing.
Yes. I have to say that once
mirror theory is no longer this ADS5 plus S5 sigma model. In fact, nobody knows what it is.
Yeah. In the particular gauge.
Well, some kind of.
Yes. Wait. No, we hope that. Why it's not Lorentz invariant?
Why are you claiming it's not Maxwell invariant application?
No, we hope so that it will be invariant. We impose the gauge. We then will use Virasoro. But in this particular gauge, as we know in light cone gauge, the theory looks very much like a massive theory. Yes, by this mechanism of Virasoro constraints, you can transform the masses, in quotation marks, into dimensions, etc. So we will use this analogy, and essentially we will be investigating the massive scattering, one can say.
The point I wanted to make is that this mirror theory is not the same as theory.
It's a different theory. For the moment, let us keep the analogy. The analogy with relativistic theories. There, it's almost the same theory.
Is the point that in light quantization, the spatial in the coordinate is a very special thing? It's not at all the same thing.
No, but if you look at the analytic structure of this mirror model, it's.
We'll explain it. It will come. So, okay. Then, actually, for the ground state, we have the following prescription. We just send R, this length, to infinity, and the torus become a cylinder, as we wanted. And then the first excited state is, the first term which survives in this limit is the ground state. But we see already that in this scheme, we have in principle the excited states. So the ground state for the superstring theory will be not interesting. It's a bit an index. It will be zero. But by certain analytical continuations, we will extract the excited states, which are already interesting, which correspond to Konieschi, etc. Okay, so here is the scheme. We should solve the theory. So the moral is that we should solve the theory on this very big circle, almost infinite. And fortunately, even the scattering theory, even asymptotic beta ansatz, give the possibility to solve this theory exactly. Namely, the idea is that, of course, it's a thermodynamical limit. You can use the saddle point approximation in this limit. It's very nicely done by Young and Young long, long ago in integrable models. And you calculate the free energy. This will be the free energy in this setting. Then you use this trick, and in fact, it will be the free energy will become the ground state for the model of interest with the Hamiltonian defined here. Then by certain analytical continuations, we will also generate the results for the ground states. So hope it's pedagogical enough.
If you did that process in the mirror, would you get the same thing? I mean, the same energy, because it might be have a different different interpretation, right?
Here in the relativistic theory, it's essentially the same up to the exchange of R and L. Yes, but indeed, in ADS CFT, we know that it's not completely, at least in the light cone gauge, it's not a relativistic theory, and the dispersions will be different a little bit. I will explain it. So the theories are not equivalent. So you have to go to mirror theory to know something about the original one.
Just
a naive
question. If you take
R to
infinity and then to perturbation, would you miss the winding mode?
The winding mode?
Yes. They will go
to the core. That's for the massless theory, of course, there will be winding modes. And you're right, you're right. Of course, when we analyzed even the massless theory, we saw these winding modes and they are excited states. I hope Pedro will tell about it, but in the SU2 principle chiral field, certainly you have sort of, you have zero modes in the very ultraviolet limit when the theory becomes conformal. Then they evolve somehow for finite length and you can identify them in the massless limit as ultraviolet limit as windings. Okay, now the toy model, the source of our inspiration. This is this principal chiral field, the model which was widely studied maybe 30 years ago, I don't know. David should remember. This is a solvable model. The solution was once proposed by actually Polyakov-Wigman. It was even later work for SUN cross SUN, but the S matrix for it was proposed by Zamolochikov and Zamolochikov for this particular model because it's equivalent to O4. And the theory is massive. I just remind you that it's a standard dynamical mass which appears. Definition of lambda, I should just introduce G. I will use G everywhere. Okay, and S matrix, in fact, is known to be factorized according to SU2 left and SU2 right group, left and right group, according to the shifts of G, of the element G from the left and from the right. And there is not too much freedom in inventing new S matrices. All of them should be proportional to the so-called R matrices, which have the standard form 1 plus theta plus permutation, or here it's written as projector. Say, if you scatter two particles, you have a projector to symmetric space in the intermediate channel and to the anti-symmetric. And this combination of theta plus I t over theta minus I. With respect to the spectral parameter, I should explain that it's rapidity. The spectral parameter here, it's called rapidity. It parameterizes energy and momentum. So this is essentially the only choice to satisfy Young-Baxter, etc. Then there is this scalar factor, which is not defined by Young-Baxter. And now, first of all, the important thing is that it, according to the to this symmetry, as you left times as you right, this matrix also splits into left and right parts, which are identical. And somehow S naught also appears as a square here. This scalar factor, which nowadays is called by some reasons as Dressing factor, it's relatively complicated. It's this ratio of gamma functions. This is a good analog of Dressing factor of ADS CFT. Although you see it's a rational function there, it's infinitely multi-valued function. But still, we'll keep this analogy. So this is an important lesson. You have essentially two SU2 spins for each particle, and you have to propagate them together, and you get this direct product. Unfortunately, it's cut from above, from below. It's a pity. So I wanted to show you, to compare it with the ADCFT scattering factor, scattering matrix, which also has absolutely the same form, except that these two factors are SU2/2 factors. As we know, the in the light cone gauge, we have only this symmetry. So it's the full analogy. Fortunately, this formula is analogous to that one, except that here everything depends on difference of thetas there. Each momentum enters, so it depends on two variables separately. Hope I will not have too much problems with.
No, you know, I mean, it's just a monitor screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, I don't know how to adjust the focal length for the size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see.
You just leave full screen.
It is larger
will
than
be ugly. Huh?
Probably it is an A4 paper for present.
Ah, yes, probably it's European. Of course I can, but do you think it's okay? Yes, it's a bit ugly. And no suspense. You see many experiments in advance.
Ah.
No, on the side of the
No, that I can even use this. It's much better, but I wanted to make it bigger. Okay, so here you see what I wanted to show.
Could you repeat please the definition of PLR plus minus? Here.
Ah, those are just projectors, SU2 projectors to symmetric and anti-symmetric spaces. Because you scatter two particles, there are, say, I and J index, and you and L and K at the end, and you arrange it into projectors.
Is there anything that plays a role in central charge?
Central charge in this model? Actually, in the ultraviolet limit, you really can recognize, analyzing the states, and that you have a Casimir effect in the deep ultraviolet with the central charge 3.
Because
Oh, you speak about the central charge of the SU2/2 extended. I prefer not to speak even about it. You know, somehow it's not needed for my scheme. I would love to understand how it enters the game, but somehow it's a different language, and many things work like for the usual SU2/2. You'll see. There is also Krosigk relation, which exists for this scaling factor, which is the baby version of ADS-CFT Krosigk relation, although of course with important differences. Now, how do we solve this model? Since we are on the circle, we have to impose the periodicity. We just take a particle, a particular particle. Okay, here there are some particles with spins, and you want the wave function to be periodic. You take this particle, carry it around the circle. The variable changes to x plus r. Here we are on the big circle. We are solving the mirror theory. And there are scattering factors, phase shifts, and also just the free motion particle, m times momentum times r. Everything should be zero. The partition function shouldn't acquire the phase when you move the particle around. So this is the main equation, and of course it's a very complicated equation because S matrix is a a matrix, so you have to imagine a circle with particles you put on it, and with spins, even left and right spins to each particle, attached to each particle, you have to diagonalize this partition function which acts in the state, in the space, like four to the number of particle degrees of freedom. Okay, this is done by algebraic beat ansatz, or by, there are some other approaches. We can do it. I don't present here the asymptotic, actually, beat ansatz, the analog of ADS-CFT asymptotic beat ansatz. I want only to point out the following, that the particles here don't form the bound states. So the particle in this simple model cannot bind together into a new particle. There is only one mass, one physical mass, m here. For example, for SUN, principal chiral field, there are n minus one different particles, but here not. On the other hand, there are also, they have spins, and these spins interact. It forms sort of an inhomogeneous spin chain in the spin space. And these spins can form bound states. The spin waves can form bound states, which can be described by this, say, two particles can have some collinear spin and form a symmetric state, which is described by symmetric tensor rank 2, then rank 3, then it can be just no bound state, just a particle. You have to imagine it for both spins separately. Then there is a formation of these bound states observed in the beat ansatz as a solution for it, the so-called string hypothesis. In fact, strings, those are called strings. They have nothing to do with the string theory. And now, then you can introduce the densities of these states with two or three spins coupled. This rho s will be the density of symmetric state s, symmetric state, which describes tensor rank s. The density is defined in the theta space, so it's dn d theta, yes. And also you have left and right subgroup, and you somehow it's nice to arrange it in the following way, that positive s are for the left, for the right group, and negative s for the left subgroup, SU to left, SU to right. And the s equals zero corresponds to the density of particles themselves. So for spins, you for left and right spins, it will be positive and negative s. S is just the number of spins coupled in the bound state. And the rho zero corresponds to the density of particles themselves in the rapidity space. Also, one should, and little by little, it's quite a work. You can derive this beta equation already for almost infinite system, where everything is defined by bend densities. There are many, many particles. Here is the convolution with the kernel and sum over M. Double repeated index. This is a mass. So.
The kernel is built out of the S matrix itself.
Yeah, the kernel is essentially the logarithmic derivative of S matrix between K bound state and S bound state and M bound state. So it's actually a very transparent picture here given by this equation. Also, there are particles and holes. Rho bar means holes in the spectrum in similar fashion as we would do for fermions in one-dimensional system. And you see that this term, which corresponds to the momentum to the momentum of the particle, is carried only by rho zero. So we can say that only rho zero here, rho zero equation is forced. That means that particles really carry energy and momentum, but the spin wave bound states don't carry any spin or momentum. But they have to be taken into account entropically. And then it's the standard way to derive the free energy for this very big circle. The radius r going to infinity. So the energy is just the integral rho zero with cos p pi theta m. This is the energy of the system once we know rho zero. And the rest is entropy. So these rhos and rho bars, for each species, you just essentially write n holes plus n particles factorial over n holes factorials and particle factorials. This will give this rho log, typical terms like rho log 1 plus rho, etc. So this is, and you sum up over all bound states k from minus infinity to infinity. Okay, and then you have to minimize this free energy because r goes to infinity. You are in the infinite volume. T, by the way, plays the role of 1 over L plays the role of T. And we want the dependence on this L parameter here in the other direction. Question?
How do you know that sort of your answer does not miss solutions? Because otherwise you would only get a good approximation of the...
Good question. It was studied, of course, in all these integrable models. And people came to the conclusion that still this string hypothesis is a hypothesis. But if you count the number of states, it's precisely as it should. It spans the whole Hilbert space of a given Hamiltonian. There are some works on it, but no direct proof. It's still called hypothesis, which is always working. Okay, then now we do what? We minimize this free energy with this constraint. It's a nice calculation of Young and Young for this particular model. As a result, you get this TBA equation. Now we introduce this Ys for this particular system. Ys is the ratio of density of holes over density of particles. And Y0, somehow it's the opposite. It's rho particles over rho holes for the particles themselves, which probably indicates on the anti-ferromagnetic nature of the vacuum of this model. I didn't understand deeply this point. Probably the professionals would know how to explain it. But after quite a non-trivial calculations, which we have done in the appendix of our paper, we have never seen in the literature those calculations, although somehow professionals say that it was known. But we get this equation, very beautiful equation. It's almost Y system. So Ys, you can imagine now this scheme. S is just, here is S equal to zero. This corresponds to the particles. Everything else is spin excitations for left and right subgroups. Somehow it glues together smoothly into this system. Now we introduce here this very bizarre operation. This is a convolution, multiplicative convolution. This means that you should exponentiate it and apply this operator to the log inverse of this operator, which is the sum of two shifts in theta, to the log of this guy. But it's very concise form. We like it. Then you have this, only for s equals zero, you have this dispersion term factor, which indicates that only for s equals zero, you have a very specific asymptotic for large theta. It goes to zero. For the rest, for s non-zero, we assume that they are constants. At very big theta. And now we can also invert this operator. It's just acting H h hat minus 1 to the right and left hand side. Here you get just the product of two y's. I have not introduced yet this notation. I will. It's just the shift of arguments by I over 2 and minus I over 2. I will introduce it soon. So you kill this h bar, you just get this term. You kill this term because it's a zero mod of this operator acting on cosh, you get zero. And you get here the product of these shifts, theta plus I over 2, y theta plus I over 2 times y theta minus I over 2. And this is the y system, sort of SU2 y system for SL2 algebras, more simpler than what we had on the T-short, which is for bigger groups. Plus minus, that's I define on the next transparency, but I forgot to define here. F, any function of theta with plus minus will mean plus minus. I would want to drop the argument, but it will mean theta plus minus I over 2. Just, otherwise, the formulas grow in a very fast manner. Okay, so this is this famous Y system, equivalent to the TBA. And what is spectacular here, let me see. Okay, what is spectacular here, on this level of the functional equation, this system doesn't even notice that we glued together two SU2 left and SU2 right subsystems. It smoothly arranges itself into one and single equation, which is probably a very important sign of integrability of this particular model. Of course, it's well known. There were other derivations of Y systems from some more general models. It's not us who proposed it, but we analyzed it in our recent work with Pedro and Nikolai. This was an important source of inspiration for us. Now, we have to know how to calculate the energy. Again, this Young and Young procedure gives the following formula. First, if you don't look at this term, it will be the energy for the ground state. You have here log 1 plus y naught cosine theta, d theta, etc. In some sense, this y naught is a Boltzmann factor here. And if you expand log into y naughts, it will be Boltzmann factors for these wrappings. You expand into wrappings or into the number of particles going around the cylinder. And Kosh. Good question. Probably they behave as fermions, although I didn't think about it. It's always like that. It's always plus. There is something fermionic about it because, for example, these objects, holes and particles, are introduced like fermions. You have a spectrum of integers, momentum modes, and you really they really behave like fermions. And when you once you make a hole in this set of integers, it's rho bar describes the number of these holes, etc. So it's a fermionic formula. Although one-dimensional fermions, of course, it can be always treated as bosons or fermions, but here it's more useful to see it as a fermion picture. Okay, now, where does this term come from? Actually, I should do probably a little drawing. I don't know how, whether it will be seen. I will do it here. So already, to invert this operator h hat, we need to have a function of the theta plane. which is analytical in the physical strip from minus I over 2 to I over 2. Why? Because, okay, this is simple. This operator, you'll see that this operator really needs the function to be defined inside this this strip. Now, of course, if all those functions, like this log, for example, don't have any singularities on the physical strip, then we'll get only this term. But also, we could have the equation, why not? We could have some zeros inside the log, in principle. And that's how we introduce the bound states. So imagine that you have some zeros inside the log. Then, of course, there is a good question how to trace the contour here. Normally, we should trace it along the real axis, or we can deform it if there are no singularities inside. But if there are these logarithmic singularities, in principle, we can imagine that there are a couple of zeros of this expression which appear, and we can trace the contour this way. It's our choice. It's not a very well understood procedure, I must say, even among specialists. But by playing with the choice of the contour, we can pick up these singularities. And they actually they will render this term. You just integrate by parts, you shift by I over plus minus I over 2, you immediately see that each pair of such points gives this term, which looks very nice, because for the asymptotic beta ansatz, this term disappears. Why not? Will be very small. And this term will be just, it will be just the sum of energies of already physical particles. So we have to solve this equation. We have to introduce these singularities by hand in order to manage these excited states. For example, for ADS-CFT, we don't have, the vacuum doesn't mean much. We have to have these singularities. For Konishi, for example, we should introduce two zeros of this kind, and it works very well at the end. Okay. Again, if you ask specialists, they say that nobody knows why this scheme works. There are some interesting papers, for example, of Dori Tateo and Lukyanov, Zamolodchikov, Bajanov, who on simpler models, simpler than that, explain something. Okay, now. Yes. Yes.
It's a logarithmic singularity, it's not a pole.
No, but you integrate by parts, it will be a pole. And since it's logarithmic, you don't get any residue. So you directly get this sum. You differentiate by parts, you get sine here, yes? And instead of log, you will get one over this, yes, with derivative on the top. Okay, then, but since you have a shift by I over 2, you get back cosh, and it works very well. So these pairs of poles appear on the physical sheet on plus minus I over 2.
And does it drop sufficiently fast at infinity in order to do the sum in this way?
This is pretty fast, e to the e to the theta. Yes. Okay. Now, next point about the representation theory, which is also a source of our inspiration. Again, I rewrote this Y system. And it can be just by simple rewriting by this change of variables, we can introduce T's. And now the equation becomes Hirota equation for this particular SU2 case, you have fixed functions on the in the right hand side, phi and phi bar. These are already the shifts of arguments. So I keep using notations which I never defined. So again, f plus minus a will be just f of u plus minus ia over 2. Just, sorry, it's probably not seen here. It's just the rewriting of Y system through Hirota. They are completely equivalent. But for Hirota, you have slightly different boundary conditions. If Y system is defined only on this row, the Hirota equation is defined in this strip, in AS space. As I TS, for example, characterizes the...
By the parameterization, you're introducing T and phi, right?
Yes, yes.
Which looks like a very redundant parameterization.
Still, you bring your equation into this bilinear form. It's in many occasions T is a much better variable.
Wait, but phi. I guess the question is, what is phi? Is that?
Oh, I mean, sorry. Phi. Of course, I didn't define yet phi, and at the end phi will be already. We have to. We need the analyticity arguments. Phi appears to be analytical continuations of T, but I didn't want to speak about it even here, and hope Pedro will explain. So somehow.
You can place phi.
Why not choose phi to be one?
Yeah.
Okay, of course. I wanted to point out. Of course, you can just put it to one, because this equation is not gauge invariant. You can multiply somewhere later. I wrote the expressions. For example, you can multiply it on general functions, on the function. You can reduce the function g and g bar. You multiply it this way, phi this way, and. Unlike the Y system, it's not a gauge invariant equation, but it's much more useful in many cases. Yeah, for example, for this particular model, it appears to be much easier to relate phi and t. It's the last step before you get really a nonlinear integral equation, Destre-De Vega type, to really define the whole spectrum of the model. But that's what I leave for Pedro.
This is just the first time I introduced the Hirota equation. So, the equation is that kind of thing. No matter what the
Hirota equation here is the it's the SU2 type Hirota equation. Otherwise, instead of phi, suppose you have not a strip but you have many rows here. So. Here the index would change along these rows. So here you would get TA plus 1, TA minus 1. You will see this equation.
The row is kind of physical meaning of ratios of densities.
Yes. Yes.
And
T is somehow you have to go through this parameterization to, and the meaning seems to be obscured. Yeah. But mathematically, it's much more advantageous, this equation.
Up to this enormous gauge invariance.
That's true, but we can manage. More than that, we can choose gauge invariance in a way which is useful for us, which we will do even in the CFT case.
You're looking for a function on one variable. Mm-hmm. You replace it by two functions on one variable.
It's counterintuitive, but I say that at the end, it's very hard to guess the ansatz for y, but it's much simpler to guess the ansatz for T, and it appears to be that T and phi are related by some analyticity. They are sort of different branches of the same function. Phi is related to T naught by analyticity, to this middle one.
Because it's homogeneous?
really. let me move only one step. Here and you will, I may pronounce some words about it. So this equation is integrable, as even more general Hirota equation. It's really integrable. One way to integrate classical equations is to find the Lux pair. And the Lux pair, of course, can be found here. You can extract it, for example, from a very beautiful paper which was so important for us of Krichever, Zabrodin, Lipan, and Wigman, where I think this Hirota dynamics was for the first time really investigated from the point of view of discrete integrability. So here is the solution. You can write the first equation. You can introduce the function q. It's a linear equation on the function q, q bar, complex conjugate. You write this equation for t's and q's, already linear in q. Second equation is just the conjugate, complex conjugate of this one. If you exclude, if you check that these two equations are self-consistent, like zero coverage condition, etc., it will render immediately Hirota. But this, of course, you know how to solve already. It's Ts plus 1 is related to Ts. This is a constant function for us for the moment, just a coefficient. This is a simple first order differential difference equation, which we can solve. Yeah, but you express t in terms of q, which is a solution. And then there will be also an important ingredient that, for example, one of these equations for s equals 0 becomes a Baxter equation. And more than that, since you have q bar, it's a generalized Baxter equation, and which is valid for finite length. And that's our. I'm explaining already beyond what I wanted. So Baxter equation is here, and there is another equation which relates t naught and t minus one, which gives you the idea, an idea how to relate t naught and phi, and it's a very beautiful scheme which gives really the complete solution of the model.
In some sense, t is pure gauge.
No. T is not pure gauge.
Well, it's like zero curvature.
Pure gauge for what? It's not in the sense of this gauge transformation. Of course, there is some information in it. But yes, it's zero coverage condition. The Hirota equation is zero coverage condition for this Lux equation, which is the generalized Baxter equation. So this is the lesson from this paper of Krichever et al. The generalized Baxter equation is the Lux equation for Hirota equation, which is very useful. Okay, then another interesting ingredient, interesting comment is that you can completely solve even this one-dimensional equation in terms of 2x2 determinants. You introduce the functions q and r, phi is parameterized in this way, and t is parameterized through the same function in that way, up to some periodic function which drops out of the equation. So 2x2 determinants solve the problem completely.
That's the solution to the equation.
That's the complete and full solution in terms of two functions, r and q.
And h.
Yes, you should introduce also h, which is arbitrary. You have to fix it by some physics. It cannot be fixed by Hirota. So analyticity will be important to fix everything, but I wanted to stop. Q and R are arbitrary. They are actually two different solutions of Lux equations. It's enough to find two linearly independent solutions. Then you construct the solution.
The Q here is not the same Q as in the previous equations.
The same. Wait. The same. I mean, the same, of course. The same, yes. The same. Why? There are two functions, q and q bar. What is strange? Of course, if you want to solve, if you want to solve the equation for t, which contains the index, you should solve it through a function which doesn't contain this index. Otherwise, there is no information. And indeed, there is only one Baxter function for a SU2 spin chain, for example. And here you have two spin chains. Essentially, it's r and q up to some gauge, left and right. Okay, now this gauge, I explained it. So some questions, sorry. A very important lesson from here is that we have this strip, or imagine the whole plane AS. We found a solution of Hirota equation, global solution, for the whole strip, not for half of it, which will be some spin chain solution. And this solution is such that out of this strip, everything t's are zero. This is typical SU2 type solution. Okay, now the large volume limit, which will be very important for us to get contact with the asymptotic beta ansatz in the ADS safety case. So we notice, first of all, that Y naught, which is parameterized this way, of course, according to this formula, is for L, big L, it's asymptotic, it's exponentially small. It's not in theta, but in L already, that it's exponentially small. Which means that in this limit, we have to put either T1 or T minus 1 to 0. Of course, T1 is not good to put to 0. We rather choose T minus 1. Or we, in one case, it will be the limit when we get two spin chains. In one case, T1 will be put to 0. In another case, T minus 1. Okay. This immediately gives us the following solution, that in the spin chain limit, for example, T naught and phi plus phi minus are immediately identified, and they can be taken as polynomials. Phi small of theta is a polynomial. This is exactly, we introduce n particles, the state containing n particles. Here I should explain a little bit on the blackboard, probably. I'll use this side. So once we go into this limit, actually the system dissociates into two separate, let me really dissociate it. In two separate systems. It's easy to see it because once T minus 1 is 0, for example, then all these T's can be put to 0, and we have only these T's, which are non-zero, and this black thing, which is T0. Now, it should obey Hirota equation separately, this and that. Left and right part should obey Hirota equation. But what is Hirota equation on the boundary? Hirota equation on the boundary is essentially this times this term, I mean, according to, look at this equation. So if you are on the boundary, so the value here, say, this corresponds to this times this. This term corresponds to this times this, which is zero. So this term is absent. And we are left with this times that, this term. This already, one term completely disappears. And this is a, this become discrete, becomes discrete Laplace equation, which can be immediately solved. The solution is that here everywhere we have phi with just shifted arguments. Phi of theta, phi of theta plus I over 2, phi of theta minus I over 2, and separately phi here, phi bar here, another function which is complex conjugate by some physical considerations. So you have plane waves here and there. But if you split the system, the same happens along the whole boundary. T naught and phi are essentially the same function. So all over the boundary, you get the same function, T naught or phi. That helps to identify these identifications. You notice phi shifted by over 2, and phi bar, I forgot to put bar, phi bar minus. And all of them are equal to the polynomial. The zeros can be easily extracted from this equation, which I wrote there. Y naught theta plus I over 2 plus 1 equals 0. Okay, this becomes a little bit technical, but it's an important point to continue. Once we did it, we plug it into the Y system equation for Y naught, and using also some input from the linear problem. Actually, and from this formula, we obtain the following expression for Y naught, which contains the T1 and T-1, actually, which become transfer matrices, usual transfer matrices as spin in spin chains.
This is all for large L.
It's for large L. It's asymptotic beta ansatz. So here the analogy is that for ADS CFT, I want to make a contact to Beiser-Staudacher equations. Here it's a simplified version, but in complete analogy, in my opinion. And also you see the equation you get in the form y minus naught, y plus naught equals to some combination of tt, tt, etc. Once you invert this operator, minus plus, you get the answer for y naught. You get all this. This you get as zero mod, just restoring zero mod, this term, because we know this asymptotics. But here, interestingly, once you invert the operator, you get the dressing factor almost for free. Just from these simple polynomials, you get something more complicated. So Y system contains dressing factor fully and completely with very minor assumptions about analyticity.
Since you are strictly in the limit L goes to zero, infinity, then unless something diverges here, that entire Y zero will be suppressed, right? Because Cauchy is positive.
But you see this shift by I over two. In fact.
So
we shift it and it becomes oscillating.
It is not positive.
And you get sinh instead of, so as usual, you get sinh in the asymptotic beta ansatz equation instead of Cauchy, and it becomes a very reasonable equation. Although L is infinite, you have to assume it, like in Beiser-Staudacher equations. Okay, and this is the main equation. The equations for magnons can be extracted from analyticity of T1 right, T1 left, etc. An important point is that, in fact, you put t minus 1 to 0, and you found the solution for 1/2. But then you might ask, why put, okay, it is t right, but then this is 0. You have no right to put it here. The point is that you take them in two different gauges. As I say, you have two solutions. T1 is 0, then T-1 is of the other one. Or T-1 is 0, T1 is of the other one. Since two systems split, you can just say that it's two different solutions of T system with two different gauges, because you always can play with this gauge transformation. Now, so when I write right and left, those are T's in different gauges. That's the only way to get nice analyticity properties of these T's, playing with these gauges. Okay, then. Actually, using all these arguments, wrote one single nonlinear equation of De Vega type for this model, which was not known. We got all these nice numerically exact energy levels as a function of length times mass, but mass is one here, in logarithmic scale. So all these energy levels are obtained just up to eight digits probably.
The TVA was for the ground state. And I lost track where you got the information about the excited states. It just appeared.
Here it's already for excited states.
But is there any logic to it, or is it just a net?
Because here injected the particles. Once you assume that there are this phi of t that contains the zeros, those are the solutions of this equation.
So physically, these are particles traveling the long
Yes.
A long way around the
very long. No, no, no. This is already. We start. The whole point is that we started off from this very long period, almost infinite. But as a bonus, we extracted on this small circle the physical bit ansatz. Here, by the way, it's not R. It's L already. So in the channel of this small Hamiltonian, we extracted indeed the right bit ansatz. So we started from bit ansatz, which is, yeah, we use the fact that it's asymptotically it's exact, and then we extracted from on another side, which is quite a non-trivial.
I mean, when you say asymptotically exact, I mean there's to pick off the exciting states, you have things which got about naively are exponentially suppressed. Mm-hmm. But the beta ansatz has 1 over L or 1 over L squared corrections, just as they don't know.
E to the minus L, rather. Exponential.
So you say it's accurate enough that you can.
Yes.
The information is in there if you pull it out.
Yes. This is already the realm of so called Luscher corrections, which.
Luscher, okay. But then that was over exponential, not power law.
No, it's not power, it's always exponent. It's like you have these wrappings around the cylinder. Every time you get e to the minus L times mass.
Okay, you have a massive system, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then that's it for principal chiral field. I spent 1 hour for it, hope for, not for nothing. Now, ADS CFT. I will use this analogy in a more complicated setting. First of all, a few definitions, just not to get stuck on it later. You saw already some of this parameterization. So there, G will be ADS CFT coupling. We introduce the Zhukovsky map, the wing of the plane shape, by this U equals G X plus 1 over X. The inverse map is double valued, so we have to choose always the branch to precise it. Shift operation, fortunately, already introduced. Then there will be a star operation, which usually we put star on the corresponding quantities. It's always for a couple of variables, x plus a, x minus a. Somehow it happens that all these transfer matrices, T functions depend only on a couple of variables, at least. On the main sheet, you have only two cuts always. That's our observation, which we didn't manage to prove yet, but it always works this way. And if you go to the from the physical kinematics to mirror kinematics, you always do the following. The positive component, chi plus a, you don't flip, you don't do anything with it, and x minus a, you just change the sheet to 1 over x minus a, which is the same as putting minus here, etc., because you have this x plus 1 over x. So it will be the star operation. Here I also have to say at least a couple of words about this dispersion. Sorry, maybe later when I introduce the dispersion. Now here is the result. At least I came to the result. So the Y system you already saw on the T-shirt and the picture. Now Y has two indices. A corresponds. It's a vertical direction. S is horizontal. And of course, everything goes to infinity in three directions here. So if you chop off the upper part, it will be like for principal chiral field, but you have also this guy going to infinity. So very bizarre, you would say. Now we hope completely, the solutions of this system for any finite length, for any operator, for any finite length, we have to impose some asymptotics, as we did in principal chiral field. We say that all YAS for S non equal zero, not for these black nodes. They go to constants when the spectral parameter u goes to infinity. But only these black nodes, which are momentum carrying modes, we had only one such mode in principal chiral field. All these black nodes should be down by this factor. And this factor introduces, of course, this dispersion relation, which Matthias discussed.
This is really there's a subtle point here. Mm-hmm. There's one thing that doesn't fit. I mean, that's not like an SU2 times SU2. I mean, in Heisenberg mechanism, L can only be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
In the SU2 times SU2, L could be 2.4 or 3.
Absolutely.
Again, for some reason, it has to be, again, L is 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5, 6.
Yes, I can't say much about it, except of what I said. I told you many times, but the only way to probably to favor integer L's is to remember that, that this is a double-valued function already introduced two cuts. If you want to stay with only two cuts, and for not to create new singularities, you better raise it into integer power. But of course, it's not a scientific explanation. And in general, you have to inject into wide systems. We know it very well from relativistic model. You have to inject the dispersion. It cannot be just derived from there. At least for one of the nodes, you should know it. For the rest, you can induce it.
It's clear that if you have the sigma, SU2 times sigma, I mean, this principal chiral field, it's clear that it can live on a cylinder of any circumference, right? But why does this model, even though it's supposed to be coming from some string theory with a smooth world field, why does this thing want to be living on a quantized cylinder?
No idea. I don't think I have a good answer here. And I don't think anybody has, yes?
I'm not saying it to, I mean, I'm just saying it that this is something to look for into the, I mean, something.
Of course. For example, for principal chiral field, it was just a zero mode of a certain operator. Here, unfortunately, it's not that restrictive. The only thing you can say that if you introduce for a equals 1 for this node, this asymptotics, which is x plus over x minus over x plus, the rest will be defined completely. I want to show how. But at least for one node, you have to inject it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by a constant AS and constant A?
This constant depends on AS, but it's constant in U. For any principal chiral, there's another beautiful picture. You have this strip, which is of the length of the width n. Then, just by playing around with Y system, you can, for example, immediately establish the mass spectrum, solving sort of discrete Laplace equations. You can establish the mass spectrum. Famous Max spectrum for this model, and also even you can write the equation for the dressing factor. We are now playing around with Pedro and Nikolai about
it. Somehow special? Or is SU2 SU2 is special?
Maybe it's the simplest. It's
SU2
not so special.
Somehow special.
What
is SU2/2 somehow special? Now you're doing SU2/2.
Good question. Again, I don't know why. I'm describing how it will work for SU2/2, and you will understand why this is SU2/2. But for example, this dispersion, I could try to inject it into SU2/3. I don't know yet. Some wonders should happen which we didn't notice. The only wonders which happened are related to reproduction of asymptotic beta ansatz, etc. So again, no answer. Many things are unanswered here. Okay, so now why this picture? First of all, I have to finish with the definition, with the result. You have to also to give the formula for the states, for the energies of the states, for the dimensions of operators. And here is the formula. Of course, it's almost copied from the relativistic case. We know that, in fact, we are measuring. Our Hamiltonian is the ADS time generator minus R charge, this U1 charge around the big circle. So we are measuring this quantity. And the expression is the following. Again, you have log 1 plus y in the mirror kinematics, because it describes this mirror particles, star, of u. Only momentum carrying nodes, of course, participate, the black nodes. A is changing and S is zero. Now, here the dispersion is the, it's sort of a mirror, it's a mirror momentum, the derivative of the mirror momentum. But in original theory, it will become the energy. And if you, again, play with this trick by changing the contour, which means here something else, not exactly this, you have to go to the second sheet to pass the contour around singularity there, around this log singularity there. You will pick up this term, which is the dispersion already for the dispersion, the relation for energy in the original theory. Just some pole calculation. Again, it looks like a hypothesis, but very plausible in my opinion. And the logarithmic pole will mean, of course, the zero, in particular points, uj. For example, for Konishi, you have to take u1 and u2. And then this beta equation will fix their positions after you solve Y system. My system should be accompanied by with this beta equations at finite size. Okay, then this is the dispersion law, which many people know here. It's a dispersion law for already eighth bound state once observed by Nick Dory, that for A equals 1, you have just the standard X plus or X minus, and that's the only thing which participates in the asymptotic beta and that's of Weyser-Stoudt. But the next states correspond to, already after this fusion procedure, they correspond to the bound states, already physical bound states, which we didn't have in SU2 principle chiral field. And right and left wings will describe the polarizations, SU2/2 polarizations, as you can guess now.
Again, in your framework, it would be, you might just as well replace g squared by f of g squared, right? You wouldn't see any problem if you did that.
I don't know. I didn't think about it. It's again, I have no answer, but better answer than I gave. I just use your.
Nothing in what you're doing right now would indicate that there's a problem replacing g squared by f of g squared.
Not to my knowledge.
G squared only appears in one position, so you can call it whatever you want.
Yes,
call
it's just a letter for us.
If you want to compute some anomalous dimension, you have to know this function.
Yes.
So silence. So comes out from here by expanding and deleting coefficient like this y and zero?
Yeah, that we can do. And that's the way we reproduced, for example, Yannick and Binoc calculations in all details, including this twist two operators, etc. Everything what is known for the moment worked well, and hope again on Pedro that he'll explain it. It's a very beautiful calculation, otherwise we wouldn't publish anything. Then I don't speak about mirror dispersion. It's just you flip one of x, of the x's, it will be the product here, it will be the difference. P will become I epsilon star, etc. There is some mirror kinematics which was understood and worked out in the works of, I think, Ambjorn Christiansen and Yannick. There was the first idea of this mirror theory, and then Arutyunov and Frolov also contributed a lot for understanding what are bound states in mirror theory, what is the mirror scattering matrix, etc. It was very useful for us, all this stuff. But we hope to get along now without it and just solve by system. Now, a little bit of representation theory. Why actually this strange figure for Y system, strange boundary conditions? Here, I present for you the so-called fat hook, as mathematicians called it, for the representations, where the representations, the Young tableaus of SLK/M supergroup live. Namely, for this group, you have this figure. A goes upstairs. This is sort of anti-symmetric direction of Young tableaus. Normally, you have to flip it down, but it's nicer like this. And S is symmetric direction. Then each super Young tableau should pass into, I've drawn it here, but it's not visible, unfortunately. Should pass into this fat hook, and it cannot go beyond this point, AM. Otherwise, the representation doesn't exist. If it touches this point, it is a long representation, typical representation. If it doesn't touch, it's short or atypical representation. That's the crash course into super representations. Especially the rectangular Young tableaus are useful because Hirota equation is actually is mimicking the equation for rectangular representations. Namely, you can formulate just in the product, the square of a rectangular representation can be written in terms of sum of products, rectangular representations, and for the characters, for the super characters, you have this Hirota, simplified Hirota equation, which means nothing but just a nice relation between rectangular Young tableaus, representations with rectangular Young tableaus. So here is this character. It's a simplified version of Hirota equation. But for transfer matrices, for spin chains, for example, we have the same boundary condition, of course, in AS space, more complicated behavior. U, the spectral parameter, introduces some complications, and that's what is the quantum integrability about. But here we just define the super character in a very trivial, it's a very trivial formula, super determinant of 1 minus z times g, the element of supergroup. If you form the character by this Schur formula, it's Jacobi-Trudy formula, you can check that indeed all the characters are zero outside of this fat hook. Otherwise, they are related to this equation, defined by this Hirota equation. So here is the fat hook. For SU2/2 case, you would have two rows here and two rows here and two columns here, yes? K and M are equal to 2. Now, a little bit of sewing procedure. We compare two models. First one, which I described at length, where we put together SU2 left and SU2 right. How to call it, fat hooks, it's not two subgroups in this form. And in the middle, we have the momentum carrying node when we speak about quantum integrability and sigma model, this black node will be momentum carrying. It's a very natural thing to do the same for ADS CFT. We know that it's SU2 2,2/4 symmetry, but you will never see it in the light cone gauge. Unfortunately, Matthias always asks me this question, but that's the way how to put them together. And the most important feature of integrability is that Hirota now acts everywhere here. Mm-hmm. It should be the quantum integrability is manifest in the fact that you impose Hirota equation on a Y system equivalent to the whole plane. That's our heuristic idea.
At the end, if you did the same thing upstairs, it would look like SU4, not SO4.
You would think that the symmetry should jump here as well, yes? But it doesn't, yes? But something happens, some miracle happens related to integrability. That Hirota equation doesn't care that there are two separate groups, that covers the whole plane here. As well as here, it's natural for us to suggest this. And that's how we get this nice T-short picture. And then we can go to Hirota equation. Again, there are already four gauge functions, but maybe less will be left after we impose some complex, some symmetries. So I have to wrap it up. I speed up a little bit. And now this calculation is the analog of what we did to restore the asymptotic Betansatz. Let's send L to infinity. Then we have imposed the spectrum of these black nodes. It's the spectrum of the bound states, the momentum of the bound states. In the spin chain limit, I should have written this Y system somewhere on the blackboard, but I don't have time. In the spin chain limit, okay, I will still get back to the Y system. You see what happens. Look here. These nodes go to zero. Then that way we can drop in the denominator this Y's, because for S equals zero, they are just small with respect to one. But in the left-hand side, of course, only these nodes enter, and it's a zero over zero. It's not. We have no right to drop it. So only the numerator here stays, and the whole thing here. Now, we know how 1 plus y is expressed through T's. It's this formula. We plug it in there, and we get the following equation. This is the left-hand side, and the right-hand side, this numerator boils down to this TA's. A's, that's the vertical direction. I can use this. And there are TA1, which is this row, and T-1, which is this row. Only they enter here. But you see, the left-hand side is the discrete Laplace operator. The right-hand side is also Laplace applied to the product. Then you solve it immediately in this form. You just invert the discrete Laplace operator, since everything, it's the D'Alembert equation for y, zero a's. You get again the product of left and right matrices with index a here. Index A goes here. It's the same in the same style as for principal chiral field. And also you get a zero mod. Just inverting this operator gives you zero mod. You don't know yet what is zero mod. You know only that the dispersion relation should somehow fit this zero mod. So for us, it's enough to have only for A equals 1 x minus over x plus. The rest is restored as a zero mod. Of course, we single out this zero mod, this dispersion relation here. But still, there is this unknown function left, phi. Again, it's zero mod. You see, it's phi of u minus a I over 2 over phi of u plus a I over 2. It's just the ratio of two waves running in two different directions. This is actually, in principle, we could write here phi 1 and phi 2. But since our figure stops here we should have just y equals 1, t equals 1. That's our gauge. I didn't speak about it. We took the gauge where t equals 1. Then actually these phi's are identified. You get only this factor. And now we just inject there. We try this this solution but with the asymptotic Betansatz of Weisert-Stoll-Dacher, not yet Aiden Weisert-Stoll-Dacher, because the dressing factor will be yet undefined until the next transparency. Sorry about it. So this is the expression for T11. It's precisely this node, or this node, that node. They enter in a symmetric way. So T11 is taken just from asymptotic bit ansatz. On the other hand, so the structure of the terms corresponds to this SU2/2 diagram. On the other hand, it's more or less the general solution of supersymmetric 2/2 spin chain. All these Q functions, the Baxter functions, just are products of U minus UJ. Only at the ends here, you have strange functions R and B, which you recognize in the asymptotic bit ansatz. Their product is again Q, but it's sort of a spin chain, SU2/2 classical spin chain, inhomogeneous and with very strange inhomogeneities at the end, which...
Is it clear from your logic why you have this particular...
No, this is just... this can be related to the fact that it's fat hook for this SU2/2. This thing is clear. If you really restore the spin chain limit, you get nothing but this with R and B arbitrary functions. Now, the only thing we did, R and B are taken as in your case. We were hoping on some miracles, and some of them happened. Then. This is an extra input, but you see the self-consistency. As I say, it's not derived; it's a conjecture.
You think it's the only possible input?
That's nobody knows. At least this one works for everything we know. Let me try to at least to say about a couple of things which work. Then again, this factor phi minus over phi plus. Actually, it's enough only A equals 1. We have to impose. Again, we inject for this zero mod the Beiser-Staudacher scalar part with S square, which is not defined yet. And then all this we put into Y naught, into this solution here. T's we know, as I say, that we know. We put it there, and we check crossing. We want to get some equation on S, Yannick's equation. Crossing means you change particle to antiparticle. You change essentially the sign of the square root, which I showed once. So it's just this. Don't confuse with the mirror where you only flip one of them, x minus. But this, if crossing works, y's should be invariant. So the that y, all y's should be invariant under this transformation. And they're invariant when S obeys certain relation, and if you factorize S into pairwise scattering, which you always do in integrability, then it will be perfectly Yannick's equation. On the way, we used also the level matching. You always ask this question. We cannot do it. We couldn't get this equation without level matching. So crossing works. Okay, then this is the last transparency. Crossing is important check. And we restored all known results for one wrapping corrections in weak coupling, for loop Konishi, one wrapping in with two operators. There are some new checks, Peter told me, freshly appeared papers. And actually for both SL2 and SU2 settings, which is nice, because we know that Y system should be absolutely invariant. So it appeared that SL2 and SU2 is just the reshuffling of expressions, but Y, all Y stays the same. Then Hirota and Y system just are a natural mathematical scheme to incorporate integrability at any G and L. That's our conclusion. And what is left to do? Numerics for Konishi. That's, of course, very desired. In principle, we could try to solve this Y system numerically, at least for SU2 principal chiral field. Already, a Hungarian group, Balog and Hegedus, they did it directly for Y system. Up to 3 or 4 digits, the spectrum works very well, coincides with Monte Carlo as our spectrum, which I showed in the pictures. But also you can try to derive Destre de Vega type equation, which we derived for SU2 principal chiral field. That would be one, a better way to approach the problem. Then, of course, we should think about the direct derivation of dressing factor and all this asymptotic beta ansatz. Do we have a better proof of it than just checking the consistency? And BFKL, very interesting would be to check BFKL to all orders. That's, of course, no idea for the moment how to do it. Thank you very much.
The conjecture is that this is the maximum.
Yes. So I assume the responsibility. Not without being afraid, but...
As in the SU2, there is we also know the bound states of the mirror theory, and we can start constructing, as in the SU2, the ground state equation. So it's not just that we look at the diagrams and guess the generalization. We can derive them from the knowledge of bound states in the mirror theory.
That's our project, which is on the way.
Why is it clear that the pressing phase in mirror theory is the same as the pressing phase in the original theory?
Because they are both by...
It's not the same model.
Almost.
They can be both obtained by the Euclidean four-point function by rotating into two different directions. So they should be the same.
No, it's actually the only thing which we are working on. Because for principal chiral field, this dressing factor is, when you start TBA scheme, this dressing factor is present in the equation. But then somehow it's completely hidden into, miraculous way, it's completely hidden into OI system. So this miracle should happen here, because we restored it in some sense. Actually, why not? You take the mirror theory, you also assume the string hypothesis, you work it through. We almost glued everything together in this way. SU2/2 wings are very easy to get. It's the only subtle point, of course, to button it along these black buttons in a smooth way. That's a tricky calculation which we didn't finish yet. And by the way, a hint why it could work was this your old observation in BES, the simple form of this dressing factor in terms of 1 over 1 minus k, etc. So I think if it's beautiful and integrable, it should work this way. This is a very restrictive scheme. Y system is very, you cannot find many equations like that.
What can you say about large G? I mean, can you see the G to the 1/4?
Another interesting problem. Of course, for the moment, we only can restore what is known from asymptotic beta ansatz. But for example, this lambda to 1/4 was seen actually even in AFS. In that sense, we have it. But it would be nice really to take Hirota and to find this lambda to 1/4 there, but you need a good ansatz. You need
this is supposed to give you the coefficient of it.
Coefficients were also seen, sort of, yes?
You have to show that all your infinitely many wrapping contributions don't normalize prefect of lambda to 1/4.
To solve whatever in Y system, you need a good ansatz. This is not a direct solution. Yes, it's the last step. It's the simplest. It's the simplest of all steps.
Solving the crossing equation for the principal chiral field model. So if you want to do it the same, you also have to solve Yannick's crossing equations.
Yes, we know that there are many solutions of this Yannick's equation, and it's less restrictive than in relativistic models where you have only one variable. Here you have two variables. On the other hand, I find it very similar. You have to, even for relativistic case, you have to inject some analyticity structure. You have to say that it's a rational function, for example. So you have to, ah? What do you call it? Ah, it's this
Laplace. We don't know the equations. And so, like I said, the wings are understood, but the gluing is underweight. We didn't invert it.
The place of this shift function, shift to the right, shift to the left, is taken by Laplacian, two-dimensional Laplacian, yes, in A and U variables. So we invert it. But it's less restrictive because it's a two-dimensional Laplacian.
Stefan is speaking from the mirror theory, not from the white system. Stefan is asking from the derivation if we also needed to invert some operations.
Oh. Then I misunderstood the question.
We did not, because as you said, we did not glue.
That's our only, it's a very complicated business to work with this dressing factor. It's a horribly complicated thing. You have to undo it by this kind of operation. It's not yet done. Yes, if I understand you correctly.
About Genesis, so are you assuming that for each representation of this PSU22, there's only one possible state or way or whatever, and then there can be many of them?
Can I let's say reformulate this question? Whether
G, the spectrum is non degenerate. That's what you're.
No, it's a little one. Funny, it's like in our equations, basically, there's still a remnant of PSU224 in those equations that you basically, you remember, like, say, Konishi splits up into the four sub-alphabets, and you do find these four sub-alphabets as sort of separate but related solutions. I mean, I also always thought that, you know, if you find the ultimate solution, you should only sort of find the highest weight state, and all the other ones should be somehow singular. That's the usual thing in the big datas, right? And you find just the highest weight guy, and everything else somehow has some root, the bigger roots at infinity.
On the other hand, here.
But that's for bosonic, right?
That's
for
the
fermionic, I'm not sure if that's true. For fermionic, because of fermionic dualities, I'm not sure that's
also true.
By the way, you can easily lift this restriction. You can twist the. You can. Twist your equations, yes, your asymptotic equation by this G, by the group element, and then you get all solutions, not only highest weight. Yes? The same can be done here. I don't see much of the difference. By the way, an interesting equation to you maybe. There should be probably some talk. There. Does it remind you of the PSU2.2/4, this diagram? Do we have some young tableaus which are going this way? I don't know.
So we should.
That's an interesting question. Sure.
Huh?